Okay. So let's open in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this great and precious day. We ask that as your word goes forth, every believer will be firm, grounded in the word, and that they will practice this very word, that it shall continue to cause echoes in their hearts, that every other time as they meditate on this word, their lives never remain the same, and that will be found as them that always delighted to be in the house of the Lord. Father, we thank you for the privilege to be into this family. We pray that today more questions will be answered in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Pastor, for the opportunity to share on a subject that is pertinent to your heart, why we gather. Amen. As a way of introduction, maybe, we'll just to give you a recap of what we looked at last week. Amen. Yes, why do we gather? I'd asked two questions. Last week I'd asked, many of you have tried to invite people at church and you have had them say statements like, I left church, but not God. Or, I abandoned church, but not God. Amen. And also for many of us, we often used to go to church because we come from a kind of religious background, what we call religious or piety. So many of us, as we're growing up, were dragged to church. You know, your dad said, today is Sunday. On Sunday, no one remains home. So every one of you deliberately has to go to church. But through the years, you didn't know, but why do I go to church? Or why do I come to church? And sadly, for many of us, this was never explained. Why must I always come on Sunday? Is it any other task to be done? Is it on my ticking list? Is it on my bucket list? So that I know I am now good with God. Me and God, we're okay. Simply because I chose to come to church. So I also asked you a question last time, that do you remember the time you received Jesus Christ in your life? And many of you said yes. And asked what was it kind. So for others, it was maybe a one-on-one. For others, it was in a gathering of believers, what we call church. Then I asked you, do you remember the time you began to place importance on the study of the word and prayer? And many of you said yes. Where was that? In the church. Okay? Then I asked, where many of you or many of us go to learn our purpose? And we said, it was in the what? In the church. It's where we learned our purpose on the earth. Why are we here? Then I asked, how many were baptized in the Holy Ghost? And you said for many of you, it was still in the church. So we began to see that many things could be understood of this new life, the because of the church. That's when we went to Hebrews chapter 2. I'm giving you a recap. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10 to 12. Hebrews chapter 2, 10 to 12 says, "For it became him for whom all things and by whom are all things." Oh, he's projected it. Mm-hmm. "All things. In bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." To bring many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Verse 11. "For both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." Adelphos. Mm-hmm. 12. "Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee." Amen. That's when now we went to define church. Now, we say that where the English translators got church was from the Greek word ecclesia. And we said ecclesia is a compound word. It has a preposition ek. Ike is a preposition, which means out of. And then kaleo, which is K-A-L-E-O, is a verb signifying to call. So when literally these are put together, it means to call out. Okay? So, we say that you and me were called out of the world, called out of sin, called out of darkness. And we say that by virtue of your calling, you were not called individually, as much as you received the life of God individually, you were called collectively. Amen? And so I say that we were not saved into isolation, but were saved into a family, into a community. Maybe interestingly, one of the things I found with the word church, as it was used in the Greco-Roman time, and at the time of the writing of the scriptures, literally, church as it was used, is actually a people that are actually structured. So later on, you'll find that we'll go into detail of these things of part of structuring of the gathering, structuring of the church. Amen? Because it's not just something that is there without direction, without structure. No. Church has structure. Amen? Amen? That's how you will begin to help people to define the gifts that Christ gave. Because many people say, like Pastor shared last time, a minister said, yes, you can have pastors. You can have evangelists, teachers. You can have apostles. But you need a prophet. Huh? To bless you, to take you to the next level. And everyone say, amen. Oh my God. You see, many men have exalted the place of their office above the rest, but actually all offices in the church have one single purpose. Amen. They have one single purpose. So they have one general purpose. And we see that in Ephesians 4 from 11 going. Maybe let's just open Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, yes. Thank you. Ephesians 4:11 says, "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers." 12. Look, you've seen the ministry gifts up. Now, purpose. Look at purpose. For the perfecting of the saints. Why perfect or mature the saints? For the work of the ministry. For the edifying. The work of the ministry for edifying the body of Christ. 13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and to a perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen. So you see, that already is definitive in a way, but this is how this has to move. This is how it has to be. Amen. So we went on to say, we also looked at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 to 24. If you could put it together for me. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 to 24. Okay, let's read. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. So the first two, we're actually speaking of our salvation. Okay? And then we see verse 24 that is also instructive. Verse 24 says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And we say to provoke means to stimulate, which implies to encourage or to help develop an activity further. Amen. So, that's when we began to have, why do we gather? After having defined the church, the called out ones, that you're not called into isolation, but you're called into a family, into a community. Amen. So we saw that by virtue of fact of your birth, okay, it's necessary for you to gather. Amen. So last week we looked at that first one, that the reason we gather is because of our birth. We have a common Savior. Amen. So for people asking you questions, and for, by the way, in the future you'll have to explain to your children, why do we go to church? Because we are born of God. We are into the family of God. Amen. And because we are in the family of God, this family of God meets on a specific day. Or always meets. Okay? So if Sunday is one of the days that you have put out to gather with the saints, amen, what do? You explain to them and say, we are going to meet other family members because of our birth. Amen. And you ask your children, is it good for you to live in isolation? Definitely they will tell you no. It's not a good thing. So they would want to live with family. Amen. And I believe because you have defined that for them, the number one soul you know now, I go to church because I'm born into a family. I don't do life alone. Amen. So the virtue or fact of our birth already guarantees our gathering. Amen. So we moved on to say from, we saw an example of Acts chapter 2, verse 41 to 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 to 42. Okay, Acts chapter 2, verse 41 to 42. Okay, Acts chapter 2 verse 41 to 42 says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized." Now this is the day of Pentecost, and Peter has been preaching, and those men were cut to heart, and they say, "What must we do to be saved?" Amen. And Peter, of course, he exhorted them in many words, and we come to verse 41 that says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized." Okay? Or were identified. I remember Pastor Monica taught on baptism. You remember? Not everywhere you see baptism is immersion. No. Okay? It was used for identification with those that had believed. Amen. So there he says, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Amen. So I say that the first thing a man needs who has been saved is to bring them into fellowship among the brethren. Amen. When you go out on evangelism and a man receives the life of God, the first thing you need to introduce him to is family. Where does the family of God meet? He has been born into the family of God, but now he needs to know, where do we now meet? Okay? Oftentimes the temptation we have is, "I'm going to teach you Bible study," which is good. But you see, when they are solo and they are away from family, there are things that they cannot and will not experience. Amen? But when they come in the family, they begin to see the way of life in this family. Okay? They begin to see how things are done in the family of God. Amen? So, we move to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23. Still giving evidence to why we gather. So to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Okay? And we observed there, and I had defined for you that general assembly, which is a festival, which is the church of the firstborn, would imply family. So, I concretely gave you many part of the scriptures that show that your birth was, you were brought into a family, into a community that actually gathers. And that's when we also looked at what Pastor shared, John chapter 14, verse 1 to 4. That says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Verse 4. And whither I go, ye know. And the way, ye know." So we try to look into just a few words in verse 2. And we say that the word house was translated from the Greek word oikia, which means household, which means family by implication. And as well, the word mansions is the word mone, implying dwelling or staying. And we'd say that this could literally be read as, in my father's household are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Amen. So we also looked at that. Then number 2, we also looked at Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25, which is instructive. That is all evidence as to why we ought to gather, because we are born into a family. John chapter 14 is a post-resurrection reality. Okay, from John chapter 14, 15, 16, 17. All these things came to reality at the resurrection. Amen. But he told them beforehand, I go to prepare. But he was going to the cross. Amen. And after the third day, rise again. So, Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exalting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, we looked at that word, not forsaking, that phrase, not forsaking, which means to desert, to forsake, to leave, to exempt yourself. And also looked at, that word assembling. In fact, I thank God, Pastor last Sunday shared something that is pertinent and said, in the Old Testament, you will not find what we call church, the word ecclesia, the called out ones, was actually the equivalent of assembly, or what you find as congregation from Genesis to Malachi. So you'll always find that bit of them that were called out. Okay? You'll find them assembling. You'll find them together. But there is always a sole purpose. There's always a purpose for them. Amen. I needed to say that. Maybe next week we'll look at just a little bit of evidence of the Greek equivalent of that, Asaph and the rest. Amen. So this is also very instructive. And we said that this verse or portion is very instructive to the believer. Amen. It was not a suggestion. Amen. And I told you that if a Christian is forsaking Christian gatherings and praying in tongues in his house, they are living in disobedience. Because to obey is better than speaking in tongues. And I told us, let's learn to do the right thing at the right time. And many of you know many believers who you, there is a gathering. You can't say, the church is on now. Sorry, I may use some Luganda. Church is on now. Teacher, I met a wonderful friend of mine. It is a very heartbreaking. This was a young man who was so passionate for God. He was into the church. He used to, when I met him, because he's well traveled, he has money. When I met him and said and invited him to come to the gathering of the saints, he told me, he laughed. You still go to church? For me? I pray in my house. That is enough. I don't need to come and what? And gather. Church. Bachabalimba, musabe, ne musaba, mugule, do all these funny things. I looked at him, I said, sir, has it gone this way? I was saddened, by the way. Because, imagine, God forbid, it's 2023. Imagine next year you find me somewhere, and then you say, "Hey, Brother Nathan, we no longer see you." And then I tell you, we arrived. I don't need to come to church. I don't need to come to fellowship with the saints. Those things, pray. I can pray at home. Doesn't God listen to me? And these are the questions they ask. No, tell me, when you pray, doesn't God listen to you? Eh? No, doesn't God listen to you? He does. What else? What do I really need? And you look, what do I really need? I'm telling you, these things, I know you meet them everywhere. And you'll be so saddened by, let me put it this way, ignorance on rampage. Amen? Because they have lost the essence, the why they should actually come. By the fact that they were born into a family, by the fact that they are born of God, God did not get you saved to leave you or to let you do life out of his family. We go back to Hebrews 2, into bringing many sons unto glory. I told you John 3:16, for God so loved the world, not a man. Okay? World. Cosmos. He loved, these were men. So in the picture and mind of God, he's actually literally looking at many. He's not just looking at only one individual. You see, even for the parable, let me also speak this. Even the parable of, the parable of the lost sheep. You see that parable of the lost sheep? Many times we've also used this expression, even if I was the last man on earth, God will still die for me. Now in that parable, I'll not go so much into it, but I want you to just observe something small. That in that parable, the 99 are in safe custody. Okay? He also still cares for this one, but he has cared for the 99. You get it? Meaning that he did not want even this one to get lost. He wanted it to be part of the 99. You get God's mind. I still want you to be part of the big family. Not for you to be alone out there. That's why he goes to look for that one, to bring it back into this big fold that is secure and safe. Amen? So, these are things you'll be explaining to your friends. And you tell them, you know what? You're saved to a family. Number two, it's an instruction. We are instructed to gather. Amen? Because there are things you will never know. There are things that you will never experience. And you will never explain when you do not gather. You will live the salvation life based on assumption. That's why we have many things. Many people assuming many things. They cannot explain. They are believers, but they can't explain salvation. How? They can't explain the salvation, the new birth. What happened the day you received the life of Christ? Now, those things will be explained in the gathering. In fact, today we're going to deal in that in the next few minutes. So, we had also looked at last week, just giving a recap. We'd also looked at last week that before Jesus left earth in quotes. In quotes. Before he left earth in quotes. Okay? Let someone not get misunderstand me and say, where did he go then? In quotes, physical. Before Jesus left the earth, he often addressed groups. And I said, what we call the Great Commission was an address to the group and not one individual. It was an instruction. It was instruction. Instructional to a group and not to just one individual. So we still see the mind of God. We still see what God desires of this gathering, what God desires of us all. That's when we looked at Matthew chapter 28, 18 to 20, that says, and Jesus came and spake unto them. I remember last week I told you, keep underlining this word. He said unto them. Them is not one person, eh? Okay? Omuntu omu in Buganda si chika. Omuntu omu taba chika. You get it? One person is not the clan. When they say clan, just get to know that there are many. Okay? One person is not a tribe. Okay? No. Many make up that tribe. Many make up the clan. So we looked at and Matthew chapter 28, 18 to 20, that says, and Jesus came and spake unto them. You underline in your Bible, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and the earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. You see, even in the mind of God, he just doesn't want you to have one disciple. Okay? Of course, get... Okay. This will be explained later. But the mind of God is the entire world. That's why in Genesis, he will tell them, go and replenish the earth, go and subdue. Okay? So here, he tells them, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We also looked at Mark chapter 16, verse 15 to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, 15 to 19. And he said unto them, go ye therefore. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. You will read the next because of time. We also looked at Luke chapter 24, verse 44 to 47. And he said unto them, these things are the words which I speak unto you. Now, if you read the verses above, you'll find that the disciples had gathered in a place and Jesus appears as the doors were shut because they had not believed what Cleopas and even what the women had actually told them. So, and he said unto them, these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Okay, you read Luke 24, 44 to 47, amen. You'll find them, you'll find that adjective. Eh? John chapter 20, verse 21 to 23. Then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even I send I you. So you read verse 22, 23, you'll see all that. So in the four Gospels, what we call the Great Commission was given to a group of people. Amen. It's only on one occasion where he did speak privately to Peter as an individual. But then when you look in what he was sending them to do, you see that this has a connotation that Christian gatherings are of more priority than the private devotions. And we said, why is that so? Because the Christian gathering begins to inform the practice of your private devotions. Amen? Because what you see practiced in the gathering now is a light and a guide when you are sole and alone, when you're having your own devotions. Amen? And I said, no believer ought to be a lone ranger. Amen. Like my friend was, I don't need to, I don't need to come to gather with people for what? I pray. Doesn't God listen to me when I pray? And this is how they ask. Mukama tampuli langa ansaba. Ruacho ya garanzi je. Now you have how to disarm them. Tell them, you were born into a family and you belong to my family. So because you're a family member, I need to see you. Neta go kulaba. So you bring them to the gathering, because the gathering of the saints meets in a certain place. They come together for a common reason. We come from the same source. Okay? You can't say I'm family when you're alone. It's not there. There has to be people. Okay? Number two, it was instructional. We said that last week, not so? From Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Amen? So today, I want us to just examine the book of Acts on gatherings. Amen? Because you're going to find the practice after the resurrection. You will find this out through in the book of Acts. All through. Because I know someone will be like, but now you can bring even the evidence of what was practiced. We all know that the book of Acts is a narrative based on observation of what was happening. And the episodes explain the things that happened therein. So if this was the practice, and this practice is coming from the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, because he's our Savior, and then we begin to see how they continue to move and practice. So let's examine the book of Acts on gatherings. Acts chapter 1, verse 3 to 8, and verse 14. Because of time, okay. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. 5. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. 8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Give me verse 14 too. Verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. These all contuned in one accord and supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Amen. You tell the Catholics that even Mary heeded the instruction of the Son because she needed that. Okay? So, you see that in Acts, right after the resurrection, the Christ comes and meets with them and they continue together in prayer, in supplication with the women, the apostles, and even Jesus. Luke categorically put that there by the Holy Ghost so that we are able to also see. Family. I know Pastor Godwin. I'll meet him separate. No. He's here. Come. Amen. It is purposeful, yes. Family is very, very, very purposeful. Amen. Let's also look at Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. We're looking at the evidence of the gatherings. This is the called out ones. What were they doing? Amen. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So you see that these people who are called out, they meet in a place. It is not mystical. Amen. There's a reason why I'm giving this. Okay? Because we are at very dangerous days. We are in actually very dangerous days where some things have to be defined and you have to be strong about them. Amen. Verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Okay? They continued steadfastly. Already that continued at the back of your mind, like we saw in verse 1, there must have been a place they were meeting in to continue. Therein in the teaching. Therein in receiving instruction. Therein in praying. Amen. Therein in breaking of bread. You don't break bread when you are alone. Okay, some people say, it's okay, you can have a meal. Okay? But according to the culture, according to the practice, the breaking of bread was with brethren, with family. Okay? Okay. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. And being let go, this is John and Peter, and being let go, they went to their own company. Not a business company, eh? Okay? No, it's a word to identify the saints, their own company. And reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. Okay? They gathered. And you know that after this gathering, they did something. They just didn't go there. And after, bus. No. They were purposeful. When they went to their company, they lifted up their voices. And the Bible says the place where they were did what? It shook. I'm yet to see some of these things in our day. Amen. Acts chapter 5, verse 11. Acts chapter 5, verse 11. Acts chapter 5 verse 11 says, and great fear came upon all the church.
Okay.
And upon as many as had these things. Give me verse 14. And believers were more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Believers. Okay? You're noting family, gathering, believers, addition, being introduced into fellowship. Okay? Give me verse 41 and 42. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. 42. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. How powerful. These men had audacity. Of course, chapter 5 gives us a glimpse into what happened. Sapphira and Ananias. And when they heard of what happened, there was great fear upon all in the church because of what had happened. But also because it caused reverence. Later on, we see the apostles teaching and preaching. In verse 5, you'll also see miracles in Solomon's porch. Solomon's colonnade. Okay, healings, miracles, signs and wonders. And what happened? These men, the apostles, all of them are ganged up. They are put into prison. And then, I don't think when they were put in prison, they were crying. They lifted up their voices. Okay, next week we're going to be looking at into the things of what do we do now that we know why we must gather. Okay, what is the practice? So that your expectations are set right. Amen? So that you don't come and demand of Pastor Godwin. Say, there's no AC. Say, there has to be a big, large screen. Pastor, you need to project some visuals here to get us wow. Amen? That is not his place. Amen. But we'll set certain things in order and find out why. What is the difference? So whenever you come for the meetings, now you know, it has transitioned into this meeting. We transitioned into this. This is expected. I'm meant to actually, I know the outcome. Amen. Let's also look at Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. In those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Mm-hmm. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report. Number 1, honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So you see that the multitudes, the disciples often gathered. So you'll find that there are things that will take place in the gathering. And so there was also distribution of. I remember Pastor teaching on generosity said the reason you give is that the need in the church, in for the saints is. Oftentimes we are doing what the church is doing what, I think I've said it prematurely. Let me say it. Oftentimes the church is doing what other institutions are meant to do. We're giving food to people who are out, yet the people who are inside are hungry. But if you look at the practice in Acts, you'll always find they first and foremost catered for those that are inside before they went out. Do we have an obligation for those out? Yes. But the first obligation is for the one in the household of faith. Amen. So when we look also at Acts chapter 8 verse 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death. This is Stephen. And at the time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. You see, a place comes to mind. Okay? Gathering also. Meaning they gathered in Jerusalem specifically. Otherwise, Saul would not have found them. And they were all scattered abroad through the regions of Judea and Samaria, except for the apostles, for they kept in one place. Acts chapter 9 verse 31. Acts chapter 9 verse 31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. The church, the gathering, okay? In those places, in Judea, in Galilee, and Samaria. Okay? Acts chapter 11, verse 1. And the apostles and the brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had received the word of God. Peter had gone to Cornelius' house and preached the gospel. Amen. And the Gentiles had received. Amen. So they became, or they came into the family of God. Amen. Look at verse 22 and 21 to 22 of the same. Then glad tidings. Oh, okay, 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Verse 22. Then tidings of these things came to the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. Now remember, after the persecution, and they kept moving and preaching, and many believed. So they said, we identify their other brothers on the other side whom we need to go. So they sent a faithful man called Barnabas. Of course, this is Joseph. They surnamed him Barnabas, son of encouragement. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God. Okay? Church, not building, people, family, gathered in a certain place, and they prayed for Peter. Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Okay. Let me read. Acts chapter 13. Okay. Now, there were in the church that were at Antioch certain prophets, teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Okay. Now, there were in the church, there was at Antioch. So the church that gathered in the place in Antioch, say like Chiwatule, there were prophets teachers, or there were prophet teachers, or there were prophets teaching. Amen. And we are given their names. Amen. Acts chapter 14, verse 22 to 23. Yes, Acts chapter 14, 22 to 23. Conforming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. Verse 23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord
on whom they had believed. Now, I told you earlier on that where they got that word church, ecclesia, I told you that this actually was, according to the Greco-Roman time, it was a structured organ. Okay? It had structures. So it's not something that is oblivious. So when you find the bishop of the house, you don't say, why should he be the only one? You get it? No. There is a structure. There is a way. So church doesn't just happen oblivious. No. There's a structure. And when you enter the family, this is, let me use something that we can all observe. When you come into a family, there is a structure, not so? There is a father, there is a mother, there are children. Okay? Now, nations have started to disorganize that very structure. There are nations in the West where now it is mother, dog, man, and children. Those are ideologies. Many of you are traveling. Yes, you find it. It's there. There are nations. But now you need to know, what does the scripture say? Okay? So the book of Acts focuses on gatherings. And we see that with gatherings, the church began to progress. Amen? Therefore, a high premium is placed on the gatherings of the saints, which every believer must understand, must respect, because that comes with spiritual growth. It comes with spiritual what? Growth. In closing, there's a danger of people being hooked online and not meeting physically. That's why I told you, you have evidences. You can go on from Acts chapter 14, all through the book of Acts. You will see that they met physically. Now, there is a danger in our day of the onslaught of online. People don't want to meet physically. Say, I'll catch you guys online. Okay? How many of you do family meetings just like that? I know there is a place for the online. We respect it. Okay? But family ought to meet physically. Amen? Amen? So, in closing, man was created for fellowship. And this is very important. Amen? Otherwise, in the days of the apostles, like today we are having online platforms, the apostles would have said, as I write this letter to Tiba, please, you also have your own input in the letter I'm writing. No. In fact, when a letter was written and addressed to a gathering, they said, pick that letter and take it that it may be read to another church. Let's just look at Colossians chapter 4 verse 16 and I'll be out of this place. Colossians chapter 4 verse 16. Paul tells the church in Colossae that, and when this epistle is read among you, look at this instruction, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. Now, scholars have been looking for this other epistle. We've not yet gotten to find Paul's epistle to the Laodiceans. Amen? So, in closing, from the practice of what we've seen in the book of Acts, it is pertinent that there is high premium that has to be placed on the gatherings. And as a saint, you are born into a family and you are instructed to actually gather. So you do not absent yourself. Amen. Hopefully next week we'll look at the meetings. When we gather now, what happens? what meetings do we have? And then we'll also look at how do we prepare for these meetings? Because some of us just wake up Sunday and whatever comes, comes, and then we. You see that? But there is a way to prepare. Amen? And it will be good practice. You'll see it in the scriptures, and it will always bless you. May God richly bless you.